So if we recall the gospel from last week, Jesus told a parable for a reason, so that the apostles wouldn't grow weary, that they would persevere in their prayer, they would be steadfast and not give up. And again this week, he's telling a parable for a particular reason. He addressed this parable to those who were convinced of their own righteousness and despised everyone else. Convinced of their own righteousness and despised everyone else. Not a good group to be part of. But I think if we're honest, many of us would have said, yes, I'm doing okay. I'm on the right path. I'm convinced of my own righteousness. Maybe we wouldn't be so quick to claim the I despise everyone else posture. But if we examine our actions, our thoughts, our judgments, the decisions we make, the places we go, the places we don't go, that self-righteousness, that despising of other people, is not too far away from many of our hearts. And remember, Jesus is telling this parable as he's getting closer and closer to Jerusalem. The truth of the passion is so close. And Jesus is God. God is love. So even when his words are a little bit harsh, and when we feel that the prick of his words is done in love, because he came to save everyone, not just to call out those who were bad, but even in the calling out of those who were on the wrong path, he does so to draw them back to himself. He's reconciling the world to himself through Jesus Christ. And so he tells this parable by these two people. And normally when we would hear a story and someone's setting up the scenario and they have two people that are opposed to each other, we kind of put the good guy in one group and the bad guy in the other group. So carefully, I will say, if he said there's Republicans and the Democrats went up to the temple, depending on which station you watched, maybe you would say one guy is the good guy and the other guy is the bad guy. Right? We hear these groups. So Pharisees and tax collectors. Two opposing groups. And we have to hear these words from a first century Jew. Because maybe we have grown up in the Christian church and read the Gospels and heard all the condemnations against the Pharisees and heard that word used in a derogatory sense. But at the time of Jesus, the Pharisees were the premier. They were that group of Jews who were trying to be the best, the holiest, the most faithful to God's covenant in the outward appearance of their actions. They were faithful to all those 600 and whatever commandments. They separated themselves. That's what the word Pharisee means, is one who separated themselves. They did not want to get close to the sinners because they wanted to keep themselves pure, spotless, holy, so that when the Messiah comes, they would be first in line. So when Jesus is telling this parable about the Pharisee, the first hearing would be like, those are the good guys. And then the tax collector. It'd be like if a very holy bishop or holy cardinal and a drug lord mafia boss were going together. We know who's the good guy and the bad guy. Jesus is setting up this scenario, and every time he tells a parable, there's a twist. There's an unexpected turn. Because we would expect the Pharisee to be the one who does things correctly. But what a foolish prayer. Not even a prayer, a statement of self-righteousness. He's talking to himself. The word I, that first person pronoun used so many times. He's bragging on himself, to himself. He says he talked to himself. I do this. I don't do that. I'm not like them. I. Thankfully, I'm not like that guy. I'm sure none of us have ever had that thought, but, you know, comparing ourselves to someone else and putting ourselves on a higher platform because we're not as bad as the other guy. This is that subtle temptation of the evil one to get our eyes off of the cross, off of the true sign of righteousness and holiness, and then compare ourselves to others. And then they become the standard on how bad I can be as long as I'm not as bad as they are. And the tax collector was a bad guy. He was a public sinner. He was dealing with the enemy and probably stealing and extorting money from his fellow Jews as he was trying to line his pockets, taking advantage of his position. He really was, in one sense, the bad guy. But as we know from the scriptures that God judges the hearts, we judge the outside appearance. Humans do. And that was the twist. Because even though the Pharisee took his position, he went to his place, his spot of prominence in the temple, and appeared to be offering right prayer. And the tax collector was off in the back, not even able to raise his eyes, beating his chest in self-hatred, self-loathing, as it appeared. But his is the prayer that the Lord heard. His was the prayer of truth. Because as Jesus says, those of us who exalt ourselves will be humbled. The righteous are knocked down from their thrones. But those who are humble, those who see with the eyes of faith the reality of themselves, the sins they commit, the choices that they make, those who see that as they are and are willing to admit, they are the ones who are made righteous. They are the ones who are put in right relationship. Those are the ones who are justified. And again, Jesus is telling this story, telling this parable to move the hearts of those who are self-righteous, for those who have judged themselves better than others, who don't really feel they need repentance because they're not as bad as someone else. We live in an image-driven culture, especially if you spend any time scrolling through a digital device of any kind, flipping through the channels, scrolling through whatever, we're bombarded with images of perfection, images of ideal lives that we can't even measure up to ourselves. And we fall into a pit of anxiety and depression. And then everything has a competition. Everything is this yearning for approval from the people around us. Because if I'm judging them, then they must be judging me. And we're not able to love them. We're not able to see them as the Father sees them. Jesus was calling these men to true conversion of their heart, and he's calling each one of us the same. In clear terms, inviting us to be honest with the Lord about the state of our souls. And as we come to the end of the liturgical year, we come to face the reality of the final judgment. And again, it's not always easy or fun to hear these things, but this is the only way to truth. This is the only way to freedom, the only way to life. The evil one wants us to be comfortable in our sin and our mediocrity. The evil one wants us to keep our eyes looking at one another with judgment and criticism. The Lord's calling us into the light of truth, the light of love, the light of freedom. To be humble means we live in the truth. And the truth is God and I am not. And as I spend time meditating on the Passion, gazing upon the crucifix, as I spend time on my knees in front of the Blessed Sacrament in adoration, as I read the sacred scriptures, as I go out and serve the poor, I come to a true understanding of who God is. And I no longer need to compete. I no longer need to prove myself to anyone, especially to God. That's what the Pharisee was trying to do. Give God his credentials. I'm worth it. I've done all the right things. Let me in. That's not the gauge. The Lord is looking for hearts that are humble, that are meek, that live in the truth. Cry out to the Lord today. Be honest with your Savior and your Redeemer, Jesus Christ. Beg him for his mercy. Beat your breast. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner.